All right, hey guys, today we're going to be discussing limbic neurons and science communication, and we have two very special guests to help us do this. Would you all like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Barbara. I work at Walmart as an account manager in the e-commerce department.
And I'm Owsley. I'm an acting student at Marymount Manhattan College.
Thank you guys for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
So first, we're going to talk about a little bit about the paper that you read entitled Limbic Neurons Shape Sex Recognition and Social Behavior in Sexually Naive Males. So do you want to say a little bit what you thought of the paper? Did you find it dense? Was it easy? Did you understand what they were saying?
Okay, I'm going to start here, which is my first initial thoughts. I really didn't understand a word that was coming off the page into my eyes and my brain. I understand the words individually, but when they were all pieced together to form a thought, I really couldn't comprehend what I was digesting.
Yeah, I would definitely echo that. I really struggled to understand what even the summary said. It was a lot of complex words I remember from biology, but I don't remember the definition.
And I just felt, distanced by the author. I didn't feel like I was really being pulled in and as part of it.
Oh, yeah.
No, I get that. So what do you think the author's main points about limbic neurons were?
I don't mean to belabor the point, but I didn't get a point from the author.
We had to look up what limbic neurons meant, so... Yeah.
I really wish the author be... We'll get into that, but...
Yeah.
So, give you a little introduction. Okay. Essentially, in sexually naive male mice, they know how to mate. And they know how to either, attack the intruder or mate with the intruder. And so, some system is innate in them and it's not learned.
Okay, yeah.
So they have this innate behavior.
Nurture kind of thing?
Yes. Okay, they have this innate behavior, but what's causing this innate behavior? They know what's causing this behavior in a mature mice who's had sexual relations before, but they're saying, what's the pathway that's causing this innate behavior in sexually naive mice who have no experience?
Oh, no experience. Okay.
Okay.
virgin mice.
Oh, okay.
Virgin mice, yeah. All right. And so... The reason we're looking at limbic neurons is because they're really close in proximity to the neurons that were causing this behavior in the mature mice.
Okay. All right. I think I'm grasping this.
In what behavior in the mature mice? Just solidify that.
The sex behavior.
Sex behaviors. Normal sex behaviors like attacking intruders or mating with female mice.
Okay. I think I'm getting a hang of this.
That's a lot better. In the paper.
So what they found was that AB neurons are transiently active during aggressive encounters and that mating activates the AB neurons, and they were found to regulate male sex behavior and male aggression. And interestingly, they found that when you activate them, so when you make them super excited, it promotes
the neurons.
When you activate the neurons, it makes them into an excited state, and that promotes male-male mating.
Gay mice.
Wow. Do they don't make a baby though.
Yeah, how does that work exactly?
When they activate these neurons and they present a male intruder, the sexually naive male mice is a little confused.
Oh, it tries to mate with
the male.
Oh, wow.
Aw, sexual discovery.
Yeah. All right. Wow. So essentially overall,
that's so progressive.
It really is.
Who knew mice
I thought it was just humans.
So that's the other thing. There's a scalar to all sexual behaviors. All right, so their overall finding was that AB neurons are needed for meaningful interactions, which means your AB neurons have to be functioning and functioning properly for you to A, mate with the female mice, and B, attack a male mice.
In sexually naive male mice. Yeah, because they're getting really confused.
All right, so... Have you guys ever thought about the divide between the way researchers communicate their science and the general public or media outlets who are going to then report on this science?
You're really thinking about it right now, because I did not grasp any of those concepts in this paper.
Yeah, there's a big gap.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of stuff is only reported on when it's a big, the pandemic. I'm starting to understand the basics about like there being a vaccine created and things like that, but if there's like other diseases that people aren't as familiar with that don't get as much coverage, then that's when it's harder to for the general public to understand.
Well, also, I've like there's like a big gap between like scientists and the general public in the sense that like there's so much interpretation before it gets to the general public for like levels that they can understand that mm-hmm. like the facts begin to change and shift to shape narratives. And that's when, like, science becomes, like, political. And so, I mean, this has been seen today. Like, there's narratives being shifted with, like, between science and general public to serve a different purpose, which is, if, you know, if scientists kind of dumbed down the language a little bit so the general public understood, maybe that relationship could be tightened. Therefore, the facts would be more solid.
Yeah, it's not like the general public's picking up, like, the journals of, like, yeah. types of
like we're leaving it to like the journalists to be the scientists.
Mm. Oh, no, you know how there's like doctor journals or whatever?
Yeah.
Medical journals.
There. Yeah, there's tons but, like, of medical journals. Like, we're leaving it to like NBC to be our scientist. Like our science teacher.
And it's probably like researchers or like people like fresh out of college or like young that are having to like,
yeah.
translate all this for that.
Exactly. Like, we it's like some stuff gets lost in translation. No
matter yeah.
what.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think the point of peer-reviewed papers in general is to educate the community and, like, the scientific community, but also the broader community about the research that exists and the new findings. But I think a lot of it is lost in translation, and scientists often alienate themselves in the super, like, superior, in their eyes, community and use jargon that's very specific to their subfield, which doesn't allow even, like, communication within all the sciences. Like, mm-hmm. if I were to read a paper about this chemistry, organic chemistry pathway, then I would be confused. Or, yeah, a physics paper, I would be like, wait, what are they saying?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the divide exists even within this, like, mm-hmm. subset of mm-hmm. the general population.
Why do you think that exists? I'm just curious. Do you think it's, like, just, like, some scientists, like, just want to outsmart each other? Like basic ego stuff?
Yeah,
like,
I think it's like also just that it has been this way forever. Mm-hmm. And, like, the way people were taught to write papers, like, 100 years ago, were just, like, super, these are the facts, this is the, like, specific things of what happened, and we weren't writing to, like, inform other people. We were writing just, like, right within our little subfield.
Yeah, because I remember lab reports you had to write, like, a funny way in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus, like, other papers.
So interesting.
So you're, like, it's the paper's goal is to communicate, but we're not writing it in a way that's
it's
effective.
It's like you're more writing it for yourself than communicating it.
So, if you could give researchers or scientists in general a few tips on how to communicate more effectively with media and then the general public, what would they be?
Okay, so I've been thinking on this. So, what they would do is they would start out with the dumbed down, like, page briefing on, like, what is going on so that anyone can understand it, right? And then they go on with their details, but we need just, like, an intro that
like
covers
cover
everything.
Page.
Yeah, like, that covers everything so that
like
anyone can understand
statement
it.
In
yeah.
There?
Like, a good little thesis and, like, a good little, like, mini, like, you know, body paragraphs.
This is what we aim to do. This is what we found. This is the conclusion.
Exactly. Just dumb it down. And then you can go into all your details, all your jargon. And then also, when you go into your jargon, in case someone wants to, like, learn more, you have a little vocab list that you can reference back to. A nice glossary, extensive glossary.
Yeah.
A little vocab list. And then sources that you can also go to that are easy to access.
They do have the sources in there, but that was a lot of sources.
But, like, easy to, like, make them easier to access.
Like science for kids.
Yeah. Well, basically, make it for kids, because not everyone, including myself.
Well, that's, like, part of the problem with science, too, is that they've made it so inaccessible, so it's been such a small field in a certain way for so many people, and, like, I think that's what, like, the computer aspect of, like, the STEM area is doing well, is they're trying to, like, target, like, young kids and girls and boys, like, start programming in school, so when you're younger, you can, like, adapt and understand this. And, like, we have, what, biology class or science class or whatever it may be when you're in school all those years, but I think it's one of those things, if they want more people to join the field, they're going to have to, like, start younger.
Yeah.
Or, like, start being able to communicate stuff better to the younger kids, so they'll be more interested in and want to, like, pursue it.
Well, thank you all for coming. I hope you learned something about sex.
Oh, I did. I did not know.
I think I did.
Must like that.